He is risen. He is risen indeed. He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen. That is powerful. And I heard these young men right here louder than anybody. So that was awesome. Thank you so much. Man, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice in today.
Man, we will rejoice in today. This is a fantastic day. And today we will celebrate communion here at Prayer of Faith. Communion is open for those of you that are visiting with us, our guests, friends, whatever you are. We are excited to have you here today. We hope and feel that you're blessed today and find us warm and welcoming. And as we come together today, just to celebrate this Resurrection Sunday, I think back to my own Easter times growing up. And I always knew it was springtime because for some reason we would go to a sunrise service. My father was a pastor and we'd go to a sunrise service. And then we'd come home for a little bit just to go back and have church. But for some reason that was a time that we always went out and we raked leaves out of the flower beds. We didn't have to do it. It wasn't a chore, but that's what we did. Why? Because underneath that were these little green plants coming up. And I remember every year, that was the sign of Easter, when we'd go rake those flower beds and could see new life coming up. And I'm looking around in this church, and I am seeing babies like nobody's business. There are babies everywhere. And that is new life in the life of the church. We're going about 1 a month, so we're slow down about in June. It's too late to pick up July and August, but... Okay, I'll leave that alone. I'm sorry. That went a bad direction before I knew it, and I apologize. Anyway, we're excited about the new life in the body of the church. And as we come together and celebrate that new life and continued life and resurrected life, today we'll talk about the resurrection and what that means to us. And I watched a movie a couple of weeks ago, and it was called... What was it? The 33. It was about the 33 miners that were trapped. And I don't know if you've seen the movie or not. I wouldn't say it's a great blockbuster or anything, but it was a good movie. And I got caught up in the middle of it and then went back and watched the rest of it. And as I watched the 33, I called my wife and I said, she was in the house. I didn't call her on the phone, but I called her and said, this is the Easter story. This is a story of our faith. And I was amazed at how many connections it had in that movie to what our faith is and what the Bible tells us about the journey of people that came before us. And I thought it talks about the lost. Had people that were lost. It had young people and old people. Some of the younger knew more than the older. Some of the older knew more than the younger. But it had young and old alike. It had faithful, prideful, foreigners. There were Chilean miners and there was the one guy from Colombia. And they're like, oh, we all know how those Colombians work. And so there were foreigners, and that's what they said. And some of us feel like foreigners. There were people that were exiled or cast aside and then came back from that. They returned. There were people down there that were hopeless. And then they became hopeful. And then circumstances came about and they felt hopeless again. And then they had hope renewed. There was unforgiveness and forgiveness. And I thought, as we study in Sunday school, in our Wednesday night Bible studies, as we go through the Bible in our small groups that meet, we are discovering that that journey is like this. It's just repeated throughout history. There are those that come to the knowledge of Christ and they draw near to Him and they celebrate Him. And communities and regions are restored and people are restored. And then there's a point in time, I guess, where they said, I guess we're good. We know what we're doing. And they shift. And they disappear. And they pull away from the presence of God. And then it takes another generation or multiple generations or a young leader to come up and say, here's what we need to do. We need to return back to Jesus Christ. And it was the same thing in this movie that they were going through. Tragedy strikes. And all of a sudden their character comes out. And as we deal with different circumstances, whether it's finances or health or job, relationships, that's where our character lies. That's where our faith is shown strong. And in the midst of this, they're down there for several days and they say, "We don't have enough water. We can't make it." And then one man gets shoved aside. They decide they don't want him to be the leader. And he says, "I didn't pick to be the leader. You chose me." And he threw that back to them. The key to the box that held all the food. And he went to the other part of the island, so to speak. And he was laying there and they were drilling. Some little drops started falling on his face. And he opened his eyes. And as he opened his eyes, all he saw was a bright light coming through a little hole. That was hope. Hope was restored and renewed in him. And he immediately jumped up and ran to tell the others. And that is a message of our faith. When you have received the light, go tell others about that light. Give them hope. Restore your hope. Renew your hope. And forgiveness comes to that man as he goes back before them. And they forgave him and accepted him and received him back. And one man told a story of his sister. He said, "I never forgave her." And I want us to listen carefully because this may be for one of you. He said, "I never forgave her. And I don't know what to do when I see her up there." And a wise man had it all figured out. He said, "You hug and you kiss. And then you cry like a baby." And I'm telling you, sometimes that forgiveness, sometimes that receiving Jesus Christ is just like that. You hug and you kiss and then you cry like a baby and you release that. And you let it go. And men, it is okay to cry like a baby. Right, Eric? Eric and I are babies like that. I didn't mean just him, but I mean him and I. We share our tears often and in front of you guys. And that forgiveness is what it's about. And as they pulled the miners out one by one, the first guy went to the top, and he's excited. And then it stops, and panic sets in. And he starts banging, "What's going on? Get me out of here." And he thought, "I'm so close." And some of you are so close to freedom today. But something is stopping you. It's not someone, it's really yourself. I'll give you that secret. It's yourself stopping you. And as they pull him up, they let him back down a little bit and pull him up and it frees it up. And they bring him up. And as the last guy is being pulled up, he looks back on the wall that he's about to leave. And it said on the wall, "Here lived 33 miners, August 5th to October 13th. God was with us." And all I thought was his ascension into heaven. And really, he's just going up to the top surface. But when we go to meet our Father and we're going up, can we look back and say, "God was with us"? And likewise, we were with him. And then when they got up there, the beautiful part about the story, for those that have accepted Jesus Christ and lost loved ones, what they celebrate now is a reunion. And they get together, and we get to do that with our lost or with our loved ones that we've lost, that know Christ. And when we know Christ, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. as we finish out the resurrection message. And I just want us to think about that story, where we might be on our journey as those miners. Are we providing the hope to others? Are we the one going, there's no hope, there's no chance of this happening? Luke chapter 23, verse 32. And as you turn there, last week we finished off talking about Jesus Christ. He's on the cross. He's in between two thieves. And as we just sang that song, or listened to that song that Peter sang, they had a different perspective. And Jesus, we talked last week, we went to the cross with Jesus, but in this past week, we had our Maundy Thursday foot washing service. We had Palm Sunday last week. So we celebrated the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. The Gospels have different versions of what he did. Some tell more about what he did in that week, and others go pretty much to the cross and his arrest in the garden. And we washed feet this last Thursday. And we washed feet as an act of servanthood and humility, that Jesus Christ gave us that example. He gave us the example to pass on to others, to serve one another. And it's not just to serve one another at Easter time or Christmas, but to do this throughout our journey. Luke chapter 23, verse 32 is where we'll pick up today. And we're picking up where we left off. And it says, there were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on the right hand, the other on the left, were with him. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. Now remember, Jesus in his 40 days, he was tempted. And he was tempted by Satan. And what did he say? If you are, if, and if. And here, these rulers are doing the same thing. He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen God. But Jesus Christ knew, although he could, he knew that it was not for him to get off that cross. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, saying, if you are the King of Jews, save yourself. Another great question of if. An inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, saying, this is the King of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. Again, if. One of the Gospels talks about where it says, this is a King of Jews. One of them said, no. He said he was a King of the Jews, but they had a problem with him writing that, saying, this is the King of the Jews. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God? Seeing you are under the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But even one of the thieves said, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come in to your kingdom. And you remember what Jesus Christ said to him? Assuredly. That means without a doubt, definitely, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Church, it is that easy if you're here today, if you have not accepted Christ. And then Jesus died on the cross. It says in verse 44, now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour. And then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God. When the centurion saw this, he glorified God and said, certainly this was a righteous man. And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, they beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now John 19 also adds that Jesus said, I thirst. And then cried out, it is finished, and gave up his spirit. In Mark chapter 15, you don't have to turn there. In Mark chapter 15, verse 38 and 39, it says, then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion again stood opposite him, saw this, he cried out and said, truly this man was the Son of God. This guy standing there watching out for him understood who this was on the cross. And he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. We knew this. Now, if you would turn in your Bibles, John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And it says, now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then when she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, she said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid him. And this is after the rich guy Joseph of Arimathea came and bought a place that they could take his body. And they wrapped it in fine linen, new linen, bound in strips and spices. And they sealed the tomb. But the girls, the ladies came and said, they've taken him away. But to where they've taken him, we do not know. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. And they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there. So he got to the place, he peered in and just saw the white linens laying there. It says, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there. And the handkerchief that had been around his head, not laying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also. And he saw and he believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Now they had told him, or he had told the disciples, hey, I'm going to go away. And I'm going to come back in 3 days. And it keeps saying they didn't understand that. So Mary Magdalene sees the risen Christ. And it says in verse 11, she stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she had heard this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing this to be the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me. Tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God." And she went and told the disciples all the things that Jesus had spoken to her. And it says in verse 19, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled," why? Because they feared those coming against them. "And the doors were closed, and Jesus came and stood in their midst and said, 'Peace be with you.' When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad. Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit, for if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. But if you retain the sins of any, they have been retained.'" Now there was one disciple who was not there, Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12. And the other disciple said, "We have seen the Lord." And he said to them, "Unless I see the hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now this is a guy that has traveled with these other disciples and with Jesus. But he says, "Oh, I don't care what the rest of you say until I see it and see the holes in his hand and put my hand in his side and feel that. I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them this time. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, who was there, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they have believed." Some of us are waiting for big signs. I want something that I can wrap my hands around and touch and feel. I've got to see this blessing that the Lord has given me. I mean, I bought 10 lottery tickets and the Lord has not blessed me. Until I see it, I just can't believe. Yeah, you and 10 million other Christians bought the same tickets, hoping for the same thing from God. And he says, it's just not meant to be. Because we're doing the same thing. If you are God, if you're God, remember we talked a couple weeks ago and we said, my God is great and my God is this, and then tragedy strikes and you say, your God didn't help me, and your God didn't save me, and your God allowed this to happen to me. Is he still our God through good and bad? He's a God of love. And he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to share and to show that love. And then his disciples also. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. It goes on to tell us that they had breakfast by the sea. He said, "Children, do you have any food?" when they cast their nets out. They said, "No, we've been out here all night, haven't got anything." He said, "Hey, throw it over on the other side." Who's this guy think he is? Okay, throw it on the other side. But it says they weren't able to pull it in because it was so many. And the net almost broke, but it didn't. Gives a specific amount of food. Large fish, 153. Although there were so many in verse 11 of chapter 21. It says the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, "Come and eat." And Jesus restored Peter, who had denied him. He commissioned them and said, here's what I want you to do, go out. And to this day, people are still going out and telling other people about the light that they had found, the hope that they had found in Jesus Christ. And just like us, when we feel we're alone, but we receive that glimmer of light from above, we should jump up and go tell others about it. In our Wednesday night Bible study, we talked about doing things joyfully and what keeps us from doing that. There's quite a laundry list, by the way, of things that keep us from being joyful and celebrating. But you see, we're to go out and do that to this day. The tomb is empty. The grave is empty. He left behind the linen he was wrapped in. Why? Well, the linen was for dead people, and he's alive. And again, as we look for these signs, these physical signs, or God to manifest himself in our lives through different things, we only have to walk outside and look around. Church, we don't have to go that far. We can look around and hear. Is that our youngest baby right there, I think? Our youngest one right here. Guys, that is a sign right there. There's other signs mixed back in here and over there and back there and right here. And each one of you is a sign and a wonder of the mysteries of Jesus Christ. Wednesday night Bible study. Dwayne mentioned Proverbs 3. What keeps us from understanding this is ourself. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. It's when we try and direct our own paths and manifest our own map and direction. Acts chapter 16 in our Wednesday night Bible study where we are currently. We read about the Philippian jailer. And at the midnight hour when those gates broke open and the shackles were loosed on all the prisoners, and he was about to fall on a sword, and he said, well, wait a minute. Yeah, I just counted. We're all here still. No need to do that. And what did he ask him? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts chapter 2, when we began our study there, they had spoken and said the men were just cut to the heart. And they responded to the disciples and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And they said, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. We have a call to repentance. We have a call to forgiveness. A call to salvation, a call to healing. And it's very simple. As we close today, this Easter message is very simple. He left behind the linens because he is not dead. Remember our response, Jesus Christ, he is risen, he is risen indeed. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen. One small child beating all of you. That's fantastic. He's not dead. He is alive today. And just as these miners came out and said, God was with us where we lived. Is he with you today where you live? And I'm here today to say, yes, he is. But are you seeing it? Are you allowing it? Are you blocking it? We're going to pray in just a few seconds here. And as we pray today, I want to pray for those things we just talked about. Repentance, forgiveness, healing, and salvation. I want to make sure that if there's one person here today that does not know Jesus Christ, that you have the opportunity at least to talk to somebody about that. Because we're here to shed the light and the love of Jesus Christ. When we see our fellow man struggling, we should be there for them. Amen? Church, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that that grave is empty today. We are thankful as we look back to the cross. The cross was a necessary step for our freedom and our salvation. Today, Father, we want to give those that are lost an opportunity to know You. And today, we're just praying. If you want to know about Jesus Christ or know Him or accept Him for the first time, we ask that you just come forward today just to let us know. We will pray with you. We will answer your questions. And if that's you, do that at this time. But also today, Lord, we have a call for repentance. Not just forgiveness, but repentance. That may be you today, Lord. I want you to come forward just to be able to pray. You and God, just on the sides of the stage here on the steps, just pray today if that's you. Come forward at this time for that as well. Maybe you need to ask someone to forgive you today. Maybe you need forgiveness. Maybe you need to give forgiveness. I want the opportunity for you to come forward for that as well. And just pray about that. And then today, Lord, we ask for healing in the church body. We have many who are sick, many who need healing and restoration. And I just ask that you come forward at this time as well, that we may pray over you, those that are sick and need healing, that you would come forward at this time. If no one comes forward, Lord, we know that you can meet them where they are. And it's not about a show. It's not about anything. It's just about an opportunity. We understand this also can be intimidating. So, Lord, we just ask that if no one wants that now, Lord, that they find us later to ask for those things and ask for help and guidance through those things. Heavenly Father, we want to be sure that we take this Easter message of your resurrection, your life, the fact that you are no longer dead, that you beat the grave. Death no longer has a hold on you. As we sing so many times, death, where is your sting? Father, we ask for restoration today, healing. Lord, we ask for love to show itself strong today. Lord, as we go out of this place today, would you help us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with? Lord, help guide our steps and our actions towards those we know and don't know. That we treat people with respect and dignity. Not necessarily because they deserve it, but because it's a part of our faith and our character and who we are. Lord, guide our tongue as we speak to those we know and don't know, that we would lift others up. What we say is edifying. If correction is needed, Lord, that we do that in a spirit of love and gentleness. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.